Welcome to another episode of Your Spiritual Practice Podcast. This is one of your co-hosts, Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And I'm Reverend Dr. Joe Holton, your other co-host. And our spiritual practice today is called Rendezvous with Your Past. And we just want to let you know that even though we're looking at the past, and it's okay to do that, rendezvous with your past, but we invite you not to park there.
I love that idea, the park there. And, you know, we are recording this podcast in the end of December. I don't know when people will actually listen to it, but it's that time of year when people do reflect quite often. And a lot of the reflection is over the past year. But very often we forget to take that time to reflect over our entire life and recognize all the different experiences, events, and people who have contributed to who we are today.
Yeah, and of course, one thing we invite people to not do is to live in your past, as we mentioned before. And so one of the questions we generally ask people is, when are you? Not so much how are you or where are you, but think about it. When are you? Are you the you of 10 years ago or 20 years ago or last week, or are you the you in this now moment, today?
And sometimes there's some conflict about who we are in this now moment and the situations and people we find ourselves in and with as we're doing things. They don't align anymore. And we don't sometimes take the time to reflect on what's the important priority, what's most important in our life. And so this particular spiritual practice is an excellent opportunity to do some of that reflection in a powerful way.
Another way of saying it is that this spiritual practice is about past tense closure, when you think about it. Okay to think about the past, but the emphasis, of course, is who are you now, where are you now, how are you now,
And when are you now? And it helps you be in this now moment, every moment.
So here's how this spiritual practice works. With sober and serious introspection, write your autobiography.
Now, wait a minute. Write your autobiography? I can hear our listeners right now saying, are you kidding me?
Well, perhaps we should say, write your autobiographical sketch.
I like that better.
When you think about it, which is really what this practice is calling for.
So we're serious about this, really. We want to invite you to look back over your entire life, year by year. And as you prepare to do this, there's a lot of things you can do to bring up those memories. You can interview relatives, friends. Go back and revisit high school teachers or college professors, classmates, coworkers. Touch base with people from your past simply to reconnect, remember, reflect as you're gathering your memories.
Yeah, and revisit old neighborhoods if possible. Connect yourself with the past that way. Spend a nostalgic afternoon browsing through old photographs.
That's a fun one to do.
It is.
Just look back at these old pictures. And this is something I think today's technology robs us of. I mean, I know we have all these pictures just stored in our database or out in the cloud somewhere. Very few people have actually taken the time to collect those in any way that they go back and look at them once they're, quote, posted on Facebook. But to go back, we have photograph albums from our past, and it is so much fun to go back to when our children were little, when we first met, when we were in high school. We have our pictures from high school, and to go back and look at those pictures, baby pictures. It's amazing all the memories that flow back as you look at old pictures.
Yeah, and of course, it's okay to digitize pictures. We have digitized pictures, of course, a collection, a whole pool of digitized pictures, too. So don't leave those out either. Take a trip to the attic. Dust off an old chest and reminisce. Collide head-on with the old you, the past tense you, just for a few moments. Descend into the depths of your childhood and youth.
you may be able to excavate some of the things from your past, like your baby shoes or a blanket or maybe your first painting that your parent kept when or somebody special in your life kept and now you have it. Memories, recognizing and remembering who you were then, not now, but then.
And revisit old yearbooks.
Oh, that's always fun.
It is. We've done it several times. Unpack that old high school or college sports sweater. See if you can get it on. Or or maybe that's going too far. admire some memorabilia that you've got. Reflect, reminisce, recollect, recollect, remember, resurrect, and then start writing. But this is how you write.
Yeah, you grab your notepad, or some people may want to do this on the computer, and that's fine too, although there's something very special about handwriting this autobiography. And what we recommend is that you have one page per each year of your age. So if you're 41 years old, you're going to have 41 pages in your autobiography. If they're 55, you have 55 pages. If you're 103, which we have a friend who is, hers would be 103 pages long, but a page for each year. And just reflect back on that year, and some of the memories may not be joyful. I mean, we recognize not everybody had a really exciting, positive, happy childhood. But to revisit and write about that year can truly help you bring all those pieces of your past together.
And spend quality time on your spiritual practice. Your personal and spiritual evolution and unfoldment have brought you to where you are today. Each day is a launch site, when you think about it, for tomorrow. Your well-researched life review will be a springboard for the new you, the authentic you, what we call the extraordinary you.
Now, this is something that you may not do all at once, all right? You may not be able to just, in fact, you probably won't sit down and write it all at once. But we really do hope that you'll proceed faithfully from that first page to the last, and that you will emerge not only with this substantial understanding and appreciation of where you've been, but hey, our hope is that you'll get a revitalized psyche and a renewed interest in introspection, that you'll look at self-evaluation and self-definition, that you'll truly see yourself in a whole different way, and you'll see those past experiences in a different way as well.
Yeah. One of the reasons we consider this spiritual practice necessary is because you're a constellation of experience when you think about it. A spiritual being being human, a spiritual being who has chosen a human experience, one who is successfully matriculating through this multi-curriculumed classroom we call Skin School.
And there's something interesting that just popped in my head as you were saying that, Bill. Isn't there some research about memories and how our memories often aren't the reality of what happened? My memory is triggering some research that you recently shared with me about memories.
Yeah, it is. That's so true. People who witness a particular event, whether it's an accident or whatever, if you've got 10 witnesses, you've more than likely got 10 different scenarios of what happened.
Yeah, in fact, lawyers say that the witness, that's the worst kind of witness you can have is the one who was there and saw it, because you can't count on that at all. You can't rely on eyewitnesses.
And a lot of the neuroscientists tell us that a lot of the memories that we have from our youth, particularly early youth, are more memories that were passed on to us, memories from other people who talk to us about our growing up, if you will, and we adopt their reports as our memories, and add them to our memories, of course. But you would be surprised, particularly in our early years, how many of those quote-unquote memories really aren't our memories.
And that's why we suggest that you go back and talk with people from your past. Because if you can interview some folks and just say, what do you remember about me when I was 1, 2, 5, 8? You know, their memories of you will be very different than your recollection of you. And yeah. So it's real interesting to just kind of bring all that together.
But it's a necessary condition, in our opinion, for your continued growth. Not only as a human being, of course, but as a spiritual being, being human. And no doubt this would be an exacting task, for self-exploration is as much self-recovery as it is self-discovery, when you think about it. The review process is a sobering one, can be. It calls for a serious attempt to make your individualization process a conscious journey. Sustained investigation and serious reflection are necessary prerequisites for just the right amount of psychic material to percolate up into your conscious awareness.
Don't you love this? I love that phrase, percolate up. Bill has a way with words. Yeah. And that is what happens. And you'll find the more you write, the more things will pop up in your mind. And the difference between your natural unfoldment, which runs its course unconsciously, and the one we're recommending, which is consciously realized, it's just incredible. It's tremendous. The therapeutic effects are lasting. The self-integration transforming. Because what's happening here is you are doing this consciously. You're actually intentionally setting out to evolve and hopefully enlighten yourself as you go through this process. So go ahead. We recommend that you start right now, as soon as this podcast is over, and begin rendezvousing with your past by taking a backward glance.
Yes. And see your rendezvous as a launch site for discovering the real you. You know, don't you, that you're not the same person you were 60 years ago or 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 years ago, even 5 minutes ago.
That's right, 5 minutes.
And since this is a spiritual practice, where are you now spiritually? Are you still a student of the embedded theology of your youth?
Yeah, how many of your beliefs and perspectives have changed? And the question I would piggyback with that is, have you changed your behaviors to match the changes in your beliefs?
Which really is the important thing, because a lot of people profess to be more spiritual than religious, but as you meet with them and as you chat with them, you realize that they're still living in their religious past, still have not only adopted but are practicing a lot of the religious practices that they grew up on, which is okay. However, as you move toward a more spiritual focus, we recommend that you, as you use the old religious rituals even, for you to change them so that you include languaging that's more spiritual, which is more metaphysical. And of course, our practice, our perspective is meta-spiritual, but we've combined science and spirituality. And so certainly you want to include the evidence-based scientific findings that support your spiritual practice. Spiritual, not religious, again, is our preference.
Definitely. And by rendezvousing with your past and really bringing all those experiences together, it's very enriching. Because I know what I found when I did this the first time is that I realized I wasn't rejecting the beliefs of my past. I was expanding them, and they became it became a foundation on which I built a whole new awareness of what spirituality meant for me. So to me, it just strengthened and enriched what I already believed. It wasn't like I was dissing my past. I was embracing it. Mm. And that was a very heart-opening experience for me.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about it, if our habits are rendezvous with the past. When you think about it, a habit is something that you habitually do. And if it's habitual, it means you've done it in the past, you've done it before. And if some habits aren't good habits, rendezvousing with those habits really isn't a good practice, is it?
No, it's not. And that's why it's so important to make it a conscious awareness, because habits happen when we start doing things without even thinking. And that's just like people who change their idea of God, for example, and yet they still continue to pray in the same way. Mm-hmm. And they haven't matched that. They have a habitual way they pray. By becoming consciously aware, it may feel awkward initially, but what you're doing is redefining yourself and matching and aligning your actions, beliefs, words, and thoughts.
In a very real sense, when you think about it, you repot yourself every day.
Oh, I think we mentioned that in another podcast.
We did, but it's so true. As plants are growing, you repot them so that the space that they grow up in, if you will, is accommodating their roots as the roots are growing. And as a plant, it's getting size on it. And the same thing happens to us. Repotting us, of course, is to expand our perspective of who we are, what our relationship is, not only to others, but to the universe, our relationship to our divine nature. And, of course, all of that needs repotting, constant growth, constant expanding our consciousness. And when you expand your consciousness, you're really moving into areas where you have not been before. It's actually newness that you're embracing. And neuroscientists call that neuroplasticity. It's healthy. It's a prefrontal cortex kind of activity. It's where you want to be. You don't want to... the past, it identifies more with the amygdala, which is the fight, freeze, and flight mechanism within us. But it's an evolutionary piece of us. Okay for the part it plays, but again, you don't want to live there. If you live anywhere, we invite you to live in a neocortex, which is the new you, the expanded you, the growing you.
And this will all happen when you put this particular spiritual practice into your repertoire. So grab your favorite pens. You can use different colored pens for different years and have some fun with it. You can add some pictures, some little artwork if you want. But we recommend you just label those pages by your age from 1 to wherever you are now and start remembering.
Yes, and if you want to rendezvous with this particular spiritual practice again, you're welcome to listen to it, of course, at your convenience.
That's right. And we just affirm that you continue to expand, enrich, and grow your awareness as you walk the spiritual path on practical feet. We thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to being with you again on the next podcast. Until then,
have a great day.